Hey guys, welcome to another quick podcast. This is a series of podcasts I'm doing that I hope to be quick and informative. We're going to go into detail on some smaller topics which deserve their time in the sun, and hopefully I'll give you a new perspective to the one that you've read or heard before. This is for intermediates to dig their teeth into, so please bear that in mind if you're a beginner. Some quick upsells before we begin. You can find all my info on my coaching, books, my Patreon, my podcast on thomascrownpway.com. My books are my first year of day game memoir, texting guide, intermediate textbook, and a book of my best blog posts. You can sign up for my Patreon there, where I have infields, analysis of those infields. We're doing texting analysis now as well, and exclusive Q&As. And you can find, like I said, all the information about my coaching that's by call or infield. Again, that's on my website, thomascrownpua.com. Lastly, you can follow me on X at Crown Day Game. And if you think you have a topic or a question that would be good for this series, then please send me a message either there on X or via my website. Okay, let's get into the podcast. Now, this one is called Peacocking, the End of the Leather Jacket Era, and Metagame. And it's going to be a bit of a meandering podcast. I just thought of these ideas and I wanted to talk about them, so please bear with me. But we'll start off with the most practical part of the podcast, and that is on peacocking. So I'm sure, I expect you already know what peacocking is, but just to cover it very, very quickly, it's where you draw attention to yourself using a supposed weakness that's supposed to be like the peacock whose tail is easily noticeable. And so it shows its evolutionary, its survival strength by having a weakness, because it would be easy to pick out by predators. When that comes to us doing pickup, it means usually wearing something that either draws attention to yourself and shows how you're okay with being different to other people. So back in the mystery method days, that might have been something ridiculous, like a fluffy coat with a bowler hat with goggles attached to them. But in the modern age, that might mean dressing like a rock star. So standing out in and of itself is a benefit, or can be a benefit, because when you approach a girl, you want her to think, to some extent, that you're a little bit different, that you can stand out, you don't mind standing out, but also that you kind of look like the kind of guy who would go and approach her. I said that to a student once and he was a bit surprised, but I sort of went on to say, you don't want to be looking like the kid who's put his dad's suit on. There's a lot of guys out there who will basically wear their absolute regular clothes, but with a leather jacket on top. And the girl looks at him and thinks, ah, you're just playing a bit. And so if you really lean into that peacocking and show her you're very different to other people, not too extreme and wacky. I'm not talking about the people who walk around Camden like extreme goths wearing crazy makeups, dressing like vampires. Not talking about that. But if you look a little bit different to everyone else, she can be like, okay, yeah, he looks different. He acts different. This is kind of an alternate thing that he does. The last thing as well with peacocking, with all these different things, is that it can be a conversation starter. It's something that can draw IOIs as well. Now, that's the basic talk. Let's move on. I want to talk about how much you should peacock. And I'll say this. It's a sliding scale. Lower intermediates should do it more. An experienced guy, so sort of when you get up to upper intermediate and advanced, if you make it there, should do it less. And hopefully I'll explain why. Lower intermediates should do it more because for them, it's almost like getting into character. So rather than, you're going to have your two tracks almost, you're going to have your regular life when you go to the office or you go do your job, and then your pickup life. So you can imagine it's like how the superhero puts on his costume. And so, you know, when you put on those rings, bracelets, necklaces, and quite loud clothing, that you can feel that this is the new me or this is the alternate me, the superhero version of me. The other thing is that you can outsource some of your confidence to the peacocking items, because you can think, all right, I may not have the skills or the identity yet to get the girls, but the peacocking items, the clothing, can get them. And so, like I was saying, you're kind of outsourcing your confidence. And in effect, you're gaming yourself into approaching, because you can think, all right, with these accoutrements, then the girl will like me. There, you've tricked yourself into approaching, and then you'll build the experience. Why should experienced guys do it less? Well, that's because they don't need to game themselves in that way. They know that at an emotional level, the most powerful way that a player identity is conveyed is in your eyes. So that's your subcommunications and your non-verbals. You know, you don't really need the clothes to convey who you are. And also at a practical level, everything you wear should have some meaning to it. So rather than having four different rings, two bracelets, two necklaces, blah, 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 all these different things, like, you know, you might have just one ring, one necklace, one bracelet, and each one has a little story behind it, which you can explain to the girl. You know, it's from a trip that you took, or it's a special gift. And, you know, you still want to have that archetype, but you're going to hint at it in more subtle ways. So again, rather than four rings, you might have one, but it points towards the archetype that you want to have. So let's say you want to have a biker archetype. You know, you're really into motorcycles. Then the ring that you have could have, I don't know, has a motorcycle style on it, something that you think a biker would wear. Just a personal example at the moment. I mean, in the past, I used to wear a lot more, like rings, necklaces, bracelets. But these days, I wear just one ring. Not the one ring, but a ring, which has a kind of Celtic design on it. I have a Nordic-style necklace. I have my hair. I wear it down long. So that adds to the Viking or sort of Celt look of me. And of course, I have my height, which naturally just makes me stand out, which peacocks. One other thing is I wear quite a large diesel watch, and that stands out. That's another classic peacocking item in terms of just a conversation starter. The girl can say, oh, your watch is enormous. And then I have a few little silly gambits I can do off of that to have fun with it. Just one point about beginners and peacocking. So I'm torn between saying yes and no, but I actually think with big beginners, the absolute beginners, guys before their first lay, I would say don't peacock as much. And that's just because when you don't peacock as much, you can actually get more numbers because you come across as less different to the girl. You know, basically a lot of girls will just be like, oh, here's just your average guy. I'll entertain him. Maybe I'll give him my number. So I think for beginners, you want to be able to come into sets without the girl having to think, oh, he's very different to everyone else. That's one of the downsides in peacocking a lot, is the girl gets more spotlight effect. She thinks, oh crap, everyone's looking at us having this conversation. And that's a flip side as to why the upper intermediates and advanced guys want to peacock a bit less, because they can kind of slide into her real life DMs, if you get what I mean. So that's the point I was going to say next, was that the benefit of reducing your peacocking is that you can float under the radar a bit. You know, she doesn't look down the street and think, oh, here's another one of those guys. She doesn't think, oh, he's too wacky. And then, so when I come and talk to her, she thinks like, oh, okay, he is just a cool, stylish guy. He's got a few little accoutrements, accessories that make him come across as alternative. But she doesn't think to herself, oh, this guy's just too wacky. And also, I'm not under peacocking in that girls will just think I'm in that kind of little kid putting on his dad's suit thing. So I've seen both sides of the equations, and yeah, I can definitely say that once you get to this upper intermediate and beyond level, you want to peacock a bit less. And of course, bringing it back to that point, that I don't need to rely on the clothing at all to show the girl that I want to move things fast. It comes from subcoms and non-verbals. However, peacocking stuff can do that. I really distinctly remember in my first year of day game, I slept with a girl, and she literally said to me after the lay, she just said, look, once I saw you wearing the leather jacket, I just knew that you were that kind of guy. So the clothes, you know, the clothes, as the old saying goes, I think it's clothes maketh the man. So when you're at that lower intermediate stage, they can really help you out. And another point about peacocking less is that you can look more natural. Let me explain that a little bit. If you go out and it's 10 degrees and you're only wearing a t-shirt and leather jacket and you're really cold, but you're doing it because you want to look cool, the girl will think, this is so strange. He's just doing this to look cool, rather than it being a natural thing that you would do. And so nowadays I'm peacocking less. I'm dressing a little bit more appropriately. I'm dressing much more appropriately for the different weathers. And so the girl can think, like I was saying earlier, or I'd like her to think, all right, he's a sort of stylish guy. He has little accessories, but he's not going over the top. He's sort of high value guy, not wacky. I'm just trying to sit on that fence, you know, between the normal guy and the guy who will come and chat her up in the street without sort of hitting any player alarm bells, which is what a lot of peacocking can do. So, like I said, a bit of a meandering podcast. And we're on to the second part, which is that it feels like it's the end of the leather jacket era. So when I was in game, you could joke when I was starting in game, you know, you could joke that it was almost mandatory to wear a leather jacket to day gaming. You know, it was like a uniform. And I think that's because guys would get into this, they were brought up on Torero and Krauser, that's what they wore, and they were brought up on the idea that the end state aim of game is to become this wandering traveler who's laying goals in different countries. Whereas these days, guys like, say, Troy Francis and James Tusk, their marketing pitch is way more about, you know, normal guys who just want to improve their dating lives rather than become this traveling player. And so it seems like there's a lot more guys out there who simply dress like normal guys and are also going under the radar. And this brings me on to the third point of the podcast, which is about metagame. So let's read from the mighty Wikipedia. Metagame, hypergame, or game about the game is an approach to a game that transcends or operates outside of the prescribed rules of the game, uses external factors to affect the game, or goes beyond the supposed limits or environment set by the game. So what that means, what that could come to mean, is that when something is popular, it increases in popularity, then people become a bit sick of it, and then it reaches an equilibrium. But here's an example I can give you. Let's say we're all going to get into a tournament of rock, paper, scissors. Now, if I know that most people's strategy is to play 80% rock, 10% paper, 10% scissors, then I might go into the tournament and just think, right, I'm going to play paper every single time. So what would happen is I'd probably win the tournament a few times in a row, but then over time people will catch on to my strategy and change their approach. Eventually we're going to reach, you know, the 100% paper strategy would lose effectiveness over time as more people played scissors. Now eventually we're going to reach an equilibrium point where everyone is just coming in thinking a third of the time I play rock, a third paper, and a third scissors. That's just an analogy to show how strategies will lose their effectiveness over time. That is the metagame. Like, for example, Warsaw these days, it's got a load of day gamers in it. And I hear that Warsaw at the moment is a bit like how London was 10 years ago or so, when the daygame.com era was in its heyday. So what happened was Warsaw, people heard it was a good place to day game, so they headed there. And then less guys will do it in London. Another thing you'll hear is like guys saying things like day game overall used to be more effective because girls weren't used to it. Like, let's abstract away from the impact of, say, social media and dating apps just for a second, but they say just based on that one point, it's made day game less effective because girls don't find it so surprising anymore. And yeah, that's true. Day game has become less of a gimmick over time as its popularity has increased. In fact, that's one thing why the leather jacket era seems to have come to an end, is that to begin with, guys who get into, like, game was more niche, day game was more niche. The guys getting into it were probably a little bit weirder, so they were more likely to go into the stronger forms of peacocking, whereas these days it's being marketed and it's going out to more, saying quotes, normal people who think, okay, I'm just going to add this onto my life rather than changing everything about me, what I wear, etc. So going back to the point about strategies is that, yeah, things can begin as a gimmick, but then that lose that gimmicky nature over time. Now, of course, I don't think you can just get laid purely on a gimmick, but it could have given you a foot in the door. Maybe you might have got a number or a date in the long run, a lay that you might not have had. Or let's say this, Warsaw 5 years ago may have been easier relative to other cities just because less guys were there. Or similarly, London might have been harder because there were more guys there, and maybe the balance between the two is starting to even each other out. You know, that's the long-term effect of arbitrage, is that prices everywhere are the same. Another point as well is that, so what I was saying is about something has an effectiveness, then people get sick of it, and then it goes away. Maybe the leather jacket era was coming to an end because it was becoming a trope. Remember earlier on in this podcast, I was saying about how I don't want the girl to see me coming down the road and think, oh, it's another one of these guys. And it's possible that the leather jacket got to a point where it was synonymous with guys trying to talk to girls in the street. And that's going to raise, like I said, the player alarm bells. So you can see this J-curve effect with any kind of strategy in a marketplace. Oftentimes something is effective, so it gains in popularity, and then it reaches peak effectiveness, and then at that point people start to notice it and either get sick of it or else people start to bring out new strategies to counter it, and it loses its effectiveness until it hits an equilibrium point where there's enough people doing it versus people who are working against it. Of course, I'm talking in an abstract sense here, but you could say maybe in the real world, give it 5 years' time and people will wear leather jackets. Girls won't be thinking, oh, he's just a guy who chats up girls in the street. They'll just see leather jacket and think, oh, that's like a cool sort of stylish thing to wear. By the way, I'm not saying that I would never wear. I'm going to wear mine during the more appropriate times of the year. So it's going to be in the spring and in the sort of cooler, if there's a cooler day during the summer. Like, there's no point wearing one during the winter. It just doesn't make sense, really, from the girl's perspective. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about was that there is no point in bemoaning the decreasing effectiveness of something. You know, it's all just part of an equilibrium point. It's all part of the strategy reaching its equilibrium. Like those guys who complain that day game used to be easier, now it's harder. Well, you know, that's just natural. If you find an effective strategy, it increases in popularity. And of course, like, if you find a gimmick, then milk it for all it's worth. Like, I bet back in the day when online dating was quite new, guys could do pretty well there, or at least better there compared to how they can do now. So don't bemoan the decrease in effectiveness of a gimmick because, or of any strategy, because it's just a natural part of the world. It's like a natural order, a law of things. What you should consider investing yourself in are things that are hard. So things that are hard will often come with a premium in the long run. So a strategy like day game, you know, it's going to always have a premium because it's hard to do. People have to get over AA to do it. Like, let's say that in 50 years time, there are no new advancements in dating. You know, we just have day game, night game, social circle and online dating as our avenues if we want to try and get like an sort of industrial quantity of girls. And even with social circle, that's probably not quite possible. And guys have traveled all over the world looking for the best places to game in. You know, we're basically at equilibrium point in terms of game. Now, even then, day game will still get you hotter girls relative to the other types of game because it's probably the most difficult thing to do of all the different types. So yeah, enjoy the gimmick now while it lasts, but know that you don't do something for the gimmick. You do it for the long-term premium you'll get from doing something hard. Okay, that is all I have to say right now on those topics. Like I said, it was going to be a meandering podcast, but I thought it was quite interesting to talk about, and I hope you found it interesting as well. And I hope you enjoyed the podcast.